half a day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from Dr. Les Olala. It was presented in October of 2007. The title of the message, Anger.
I want to take Numbers chapter 20 and look at this from the life of Moses. Moses had a situation I don't think he ever adequately dealt with. You see, Moses at age 40, in a fit of temper, kills an Egyptian. Now goes to the desert for 40 years. As he was called of God to deliver the people of God, he goes to Pharaoh with the message. And it says, and he left Pharaoh's presence very angry. Now we come to this time in Moses' life, and we find a situation that culminated in his loss of ability to take the people of God into Canaan. Moses could not go in because of this sin of anger. And we'll look first of all in verse 1 of Numbers 20. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. First, we see the cause of anger. What is the cause of anger? First of all, we see personal pain as a cause of anger. Now, who was Miriam? Miriam was the sister of Moses. Miriam was in Moses' life, all of Moses' life. Miriam was the one used of God to make the protection for Moses when he was a baby, put him in the basket, put him in the river, made arrangements for him to be nurtured by his own mother. And now, at this stage of life, Miriam dies. And when you look at how she was involved in his life, even criticized who he was dating way late in life, typical older sister. I don't like who you're dating. And can you imagine Moses, probably with that stick he carried her on all the time, he probably was with that tendency to temper, he probably was going to let her have it with that too. That the text doesn't bear that. My imagination kind of runs wild. Never mind who I'm dating. Personal pain. Now, when you look at your life, what is in your life that causes you pain? And it may be the very hook that Satan has into your soul to keep you from fullness of joy. We talk about revival, we talk about building together, but one of the things that has to be in the life of builders is an excitement about the opportunities that are there and an excitement to help one another, to strengthen one another along the way. And maybe a relationship with a mate. I know there are some who just are angry about the fact that they are still with an unsaved mate. No matter how they've prayed, no matter how they have witnessed, and yet they don't understand why God is not saving that mate. And they come to church and they look at couples who are happy and couples together, and that anger begins to well up within their soul. They've counseled these people over and over and over again. And it's a natural tendency to look and compare. Don't look for life to be fair. God is just. Fairness is not the issue. Because you're never going to find fairness. That's not what you need to look for. You need to look for the fact that God is the ultimate judge and everything will eventually balance out. Second cause of pain is people pressure. Not only personal pain, but people pressure. Verse 2, there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and the people chode with Moses. Now note what's happening here now. It's very typical in leadership. The people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? Wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt, to bring us in unto this evil place? It is no place of seed, or figs, or vines, or pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went up from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle. They fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. People pressure. They chode. This word chode didn't mean that they were getting Moses aside and said, Moses, I'd like to share something with you privately. This word, they were literally screaming at Moses. Now keep in mind, it was not a small group. Bible records there were 600,000 fighting men, which meant there were probably 600,000 fighting women and 4 million screaming kids. They were just counting the men. I don't fault Moses in one iota. I would have never made it as far as Moses made it. I would have been long gone before this. He had, in my opinion, tremendous patience and held back, but yet these people were screaming at him. People pressure. Who is in your life that is causing you inward anger? Something you can't forgive, something you can't release in your soul. And these people are a thorn in your side. Secondly, what does anger look like? Let's look at the countenance of anger from this text. We see the cause, pain, people. What is the countenance? First of all, we see in sarcastic words. Let's start up now in verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother. Speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels. Wait a minute, that isn't what God told him to do. God said, Go and speak to the rock. Before God had him smite the rock, now he tells him, Go speak to the rock. Well, in anger, Moses has sarcastic words come out of his mouth. Hear now, ye rebels. The first sign of that anger that's inward is normally a spewing forth of sarcastic words. Oftentimes it is against someone close to us in the family. A husband very recklessly lets words spew forth out of the mouth that become very cutting words. The words cannot be brought back. They cannot be recalled. And yet he'll apologize, and yet those words have found resting in the heart of that wife. Says, for him to have said that, he must really believe that. Sarcasm. How devastating sarcastic words to children. You good for nothing. You zero with the ring rubbed out. You lazy, and so on. And character assassinations, rather than attempts at character correction, there are character assassinations, and things become very, very hurtful in sarcastic words. Secondly, we see a self-centered focus in verse 10. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? Most anger that we experience is normally because someone has done something that has upset my norm. And Moses said, must we? He made this a personal thing. And since when did Moses ever get water out of a rock? Moses simply obeyed God, and God brought the water out. But we make it a personal, self-centered focus. Anger. It cost greatly. If we were to talk to Moses And we were, I don't think it's going to come up in that atmosphere when we're in heaven. But say, Moses, you lived 120 years. Any regrets? I guarantee you, if we were to have that discussion, it's a, yeah, the very thing that caused me not to go into Canaan. That last outburst of anger I had in my life. How devastating. What's the calamity of anger? Well, first of all, it was a diversion from God's plan. Verse 11, and Moses lifted up his hand with his rod and smote the rock twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and the beast also. That isn't what God told Moses to do. God's plan was speak to the rock. Moses smote the rock. It was a diversion from God's plan. You know, when God gives an order, he means that order to be followed. That's why obedience is so crucial. Obedience is very protective. You know, when you study through the book of Leviticus and you study the sacrificial systems, you wonder sometimes why so much detail. Get this bird and get this animal in a certain way, do this. And I think the obedience was so intense that it was an automatic protection against the intrusion of false gods and idolatry. They had to follow an exact detail. That's why Hebrews is such a relief. Once for all, it was finished. Once and for all. But Moses got water, but it was a diversion. Secondly, it marred God's picture. It destroyed the picture of God. How did this happen? Three things traveled with Israel in their wilderness wanderings. Number one, the cloud by day. Number two, the pillar of fire by night. And the rock. And the rock was Christ. That rock had already been smitten once. And the picture that God was wanting to picture for the long-term ultimate sacrifice, that it was a once-for-all sacrifice. He was to be smitten once and never to be smitten again. And that picture was destroyed. Thirdly, it was the denial of God's prize. What happened? Look again in verse 11. And Moses lifted up his hand with his rod, smote the rock twice, and water came out abundantly. The congregation drank, and the beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not. This was a step of unbelief, faithlessness. And note, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. In other words, you didn't set me apart, Moses. I spoke to you. I want to be glorified in you and through your actions. You marred that image. Therefore, ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. He was denied the prize. What have we been denied because of anger? But we lose the testimony that should be a very vital part of the focus of our life. One of the greatest things we can do as we emphasize God working in our hearts this week is how can we picture what God wants to do through you in this city. His glory in the church manifested by you picturing what God is like. Ask yourself, what have I been denied because of anger? What's the cure as we come to a close? What is the cure for this? Well, first of all, we need to face it. We need to face anger for what it is. Four ways we can handle this. One is repression. Repression is lying to yourself. I'm not angry. I'm not angry. Suppression is lying to others. Someone says, are you bothered? No, I'm fine. expression is what Moses did here. With this outburst, and that expression was a revelation of what was going on in the inner man. And then God's way is confession. If God has spoken His word to your heart, the conviction of the Holy Spirit is there, you have but one choice, and that is confession. Agree with God, this is sin in my life. I think Herons were with us when the Life Action team was down in Connersville, Indiana. A church had split, became a very angry split. My wife and I had already gone back to Michigan after another meeting, and Dell was with another team down there in Connersville, Indiana, Calvary Baptist Church in Connersville, Indiana. And they got there and realized that the mother church, Calvary, had split, and Connersville Baptist Temple grew out of that split. But deep was the anger, and very broad was the hurt, and bitterness began to boil as a result of that. So deep was the hurt and the anger and bitterness that families broke up. Children stayed in one church and parents to another church. There was no getting together at Christmas time, at Easter time, the normal times that grandparents would get with children and so on. There was a Philco plant in town. We had one of our staff people who came as a retired couple, the Tim and Barb Corey, were in our church. They were living in Connersville at the time. And he was an executive for Ford Philco there in Connersville. And he said that people from one church would be in assembly line next to someone from the other church, and there was no communication, but yet they had to work side by side. He said people would come down the street, they'd see someone from the other church, in anger they would cross so they wouldn't have to face that other individual from that other church. Tim and Barb said we'd go out on visitation, knock on doors, represented over 2,100 members in a town of 20,000 people. That's over 10% of the population of that town was in those two churches. Everyone in town knew what was going on. People would tell Tim and Barb, you can't straighten your problems out, don't come talking to us. The whole image and the testimony of Christ was marred in that town. The pastors had a prayer time on that Monday, and the pastor at Calvary was not there when the split happened, and the pastor at Connersville Baptist Temple was not there, but both pastors are taking up the offense of their people, and they developed this spirit, and these pastors began to all pray together on Monday, and by Wednesday they realized that the town needed to see something different, and Pastor Robertson at Connersville Baptist Temple said, we need to start a meeting in our church. Wednesday morning, Dell called, said, could you and Charlene fly down here and start this meeting in Connersville Baptist Temple tonight? So we flew down, and we got there, and they moved one of the semis into the parking lot and some of the trailers in, and we moved part of a team over, and we started a meeting Wednesday night in Connersville Baptist Temple. And by Sunday morning, I remember Pastor Robertson was sitting next to me on the front row, and he was about to go up and make announcements, and he said, I can't be in the service here tonight. He said, I need to go and stand before that church body and confess the bitterness that I've had and ask that church, whole church body's forgiveness. I said, well, why don't you just tell the people here that doors will be unlocked, the lights will be on, but you won't be here. You're going to be over at the other church. Well, when that service started that night, no one was at Connersville Baptist Temple. They went over. The revival started in the parking lot of that church. Families hugging who had not communicated for a long, long time. Church members, Christians who, by biblical command, ought to love one another and be a testimony. Put aside the anger and the bitterness and embraced before the service ever began. And then this group of 1,500 or 1,600 people in that mother church, Calvary Baptist Church, were there in a weeping, rejoicing service. And these two pastors, Waddell, got together and said, how can we communicate to the town what's happening? Well, the town was becoming very much aware of what was happening. So they got this idea to buy a full page from the local newspaper. They had a picture of this congregation, Dell in the middle, and these two pastors standing side by side with the congregation behind. And they took this picture and bought this ad, and it was on the page 3 of this Connersville paper. And I was in a restaurant having coffee when that newspaper hit the street. People would open the newspaper, read the headlines, and then come to page 3. And it was like you'd see people looking. And I have one of these copies of this paper here. And here is page 3, Connersville paper, the News Examiner. And you'll see the print across the top said, will you forgive us? Here's the congregation, over 1,500 people there together with these two pastors. And here's what they said. We, as members of Calvary Baptist Church and Connersville Baptist Temple, have wronged this city by wrong actions, wrong attitudes towards each other. We realize that gossip, bitterness, fighting, judgmental attitudes have not been honoring to Christ. We have asked God's forgiveness. We have asked each other's forgiveness. Now will you please forgive us? Now what would you do if you're reading that paper? You say, you know what, something is going on. I remember the local radio station, a secular station in town, called, and they said, we're going to change programming in the afternoon, and we're going to call God is on the Move in Connersville. This was a secular station. And Marty and Dell and Vernon and I, four of us, lined up at a table in that radio station with mics in front of us, and people from the city were calling in what God was doing in their life. The banker came and met us on the street when we were coming out. Stu Durstock, banker there in Connersville, said, I need to talk. Been hearing what's going on. He got saved in a restaurant there, right on that street. Eventually left banking and actually ran Becca Books for 18 years. Built the Becca Book Ministry down at Pensacola. Lives changed. Anger was put aside. But for that to happen, for there to be confession, there has to be swallowing of pride. There has to be the putting aside of these things. We face it. Secondly, focus on God. Take the focus away from other things and focus on God. Well, how can you do this? Well, you have to realize God is in control of all circumstances. That has to be very evident. God is in control of all circumstances. Isn't that comforting? God is in charge. Number 2, God is conscious of all my needs. Very evident that He is conscious of all my needs. Psalm 103 says, He understands our frame. He knows we are but dust. Number 3, God is concerned about all my burdens. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. God is concerned. And last of all, the cure is now living under the control of the Holy Spirit, the manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Love. I remember when I was in local church ministry, I had made a decision one time, and people were upset, and it was a decision that was right. And the parents would say, right in the presence of teens, I don't care what Pastor Les says, this is what we're doing. And I'm standing right there. Thank you, Lord, for loving me enough to let that person be in my life, because I'd rather have that kind of aggravation and have real agape forming in my life than have no aggravation and be plastic. Joy and peace, is my joy and peace real, or is it just plastic? Is it dependent upon circumstances? Is it real? Thank you, Lord, for the situation that made me realize that my joy and peace were just circumstantial. They were great as long as everything was okay. But joy is real, anchored relationship regardless. Long suffering. What has God allowed to come into your life? You say, boy, it has. When is this going to end? Patience. Say, Lord, thank you for forming that in me. Gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Ever have something out of control in your life? You're intemperate? Have you ever said, Lord, thank you? Because through that, you're showing me how dependent I am. I cannot live an independent life apart from you. Thank you, God, that that thing is in my life, and you're reminding me, without you, I am a zero. But with you in my life, there is victory. Use this as your fruit checklist. Love, joy, peace. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What is the will of God? That these things be formed in us so that Christ can be seen in and through our lives. May we learn a lesson and say, Lord, don't let this sin of anger get a hold of me and have an effect. Some people just choose to not deal with it and live the rest of their life less than peaceful and less than joyful and definitely not loving, except it be just loving people who are automatically lovable. But as we build together, one thing that'll hurt togetherness is anger that'll come in, particularly if we come to church hurt within our own hearts because of something going on in our families. What'll stop the building process in a family is this often unseen thing to the eyes of others, but very visible in the eyes of our homes.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled Anger from Dr. Les Olala. It was originally presented in October of 2007 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.